Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the past few Quran study sessions, I've been talking about faith or Iman. I discussed what the essence of faith is, and then I moved on to the requirements of faith. I use the term requirement here loosely. I don't mean to suggest that faith has prerequisites, like a college course. In college, for example, you would be able to take English 101 only if you have taken English 70 and 80. This is not what I have in mind when I speak of requirements of faith. In religious discourse, what is typically called requirements of faith, لوازم إيمان, should be understood as fruits of faith, things that grow organically and naturally out of faith, things that would emerge in the person's character and behavior. A person of faith would naturally, effortlessly do certain things. In other words, his faith would show in his character, attitudes, the choices he makes every day. His faith will be reflected in his friendships. The Quran lists some behaviors that organically grow out of faith. For example, in chapter 9, verse 71, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. The believing men and believing women are protectors of one another. They enjoin right and forbid wrong. They perform salat and give the alms. So these are some of the things that will flow effortlessly and organically out of a person of faith. Last time I talked about al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar, enjoining right and forbidding wrong. Inshallah, today and next time I will discuss Salat. Salat is typically rendered daily ritual prayer in English. In Farsi, it is rendered Namaz. Namaz actually is quite a famous word that is used in other languages for Salat, such as Urdu and Turkish. Today, intentionally, and please hear me out, intentionally, I will not use the words namaz or ritual daily prayer. Instead, I will use the Arabic word the Quran uses, salat. Because words like namaz or ritual prayer do not fully capture what the Quran calls Salat. Inshallah, that will become clear to you as I proceed through my sermon. So let's begin. There is so much misunderstanding about Salat among Muslims. And that misunderstanding about Salat is primarily due to the dominance of fiqh or legalism in contemporary Islam. You see, authentic Islam is mostly concerned with heart and mind. In other words, authentic Islam is concerned mostly with the inner life of a person. Unfortunately, Muslim jurists, fuqaha, turned Islam into a rigid legal system that consists mostly of laws that deal exclusively with external aspects of a Muslim's life. In my opinion, and I am not shy about saying it, jurists, fuqaha, trivialized Islam by reducing it to a set of rigid rules about often tiny things, small things. I firmly believe that the greatest suffering of Muslims today is not the discrimination or the aggression that they face around the world. No, Muslims' biggest suffering is their misunderstanding of their religion, Islam, a trivialized Islam. A trivialized Islam that has been crafted by jurists and the clergy. The clergy are the main culprit in the project of trivialization of Islam. Jurists or fuqaha trivialized Salat by reducing it to a ritual practice. Let me repeat one more time. Muslim jurists trivialized Salat by reducing it to a ritual practice, what we call namaz or ritual daily prayer. At certain times during the day, Muslims should wash up in a certain way, face the holy mosque in Mecca, and then perform certain movements and recite certain words. After that, they can safely go back to business as usual. They can go back to business as usual for just a few minutes. A Muslim faces God. The rest of the day, he will face his ego. He will follow the call of his ego. And brothers and sisters, I am not exaggerating here. That is the trivialization of Salat which Muslim jurists have done. How often do you go to mosque for congregational prayer, namaz jama'at, just to be told by the person standing next to you, hey, bring your foot closer to mine, bring your shoulder closer to mine, line up in straight rows? Sheer formalities. They follow what jurists emphasized in Salat, formalities. How often have you ever been reminded in a congregational prayer by the person standing next to you, hey brother, hey sister, put aside all the everyday care and thoughts right now. Have the presence of mind and heart because you are facing God. Have you ever heard this advice in a mosque at a congregational prayer? Honestly, in all your life, has anybody given you this advice in a congregational prayer? That is the flaw in our religiosity. That is the flaw in legalistic version of Islam. This is a mockery of Salat. Did you know that the Quran actually admonishes, denounces those who mock Salat by focusing on formalities and not appreciating the spirit of Salat? Chapter 107, verses 4 and 5. That is the reprimand of the Quran directed towards those who do not perform their prayer having the spirit of Salat in mind. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. Woe to those who pray, not those who do not pray. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe to those who pray but are unmindful of their prayer. Woe to those who pray, who do the details meticulously, but they are unmindful of the spirit of Salat. You see, the Quran is not interested in formalities. The Quran is not interested in the formalities of Salat. Why do I say that? Let me tell you why. And I'm not exaggerating here. I mean it. The Quran is not interested in the formalities of Salat. According to the Holy Quran, as you know, all messengers performed Salat and they ordained it for their followers. But if you read the Quran cover to cover, you will not find any information about the mechanics of Salat. You will not find any information whatsoever about the procedures of Salat. Why? Because contrary to what jurists teach, Salat in the Quran is not exclusively a specific practice or ritual. It is not. Ritual prayer is just one case of Salat. It is just one instance of Salat. We must not confine Salat to ritual prayer. Let me repeat one more time, and I hope by the end of this sermon, you truly appreciate what I'm trying to impress upon you. We must not confine Salat to ritual prayer, contrary to what jurists teach us. This is a horrible misunderstanding that jurists perpetuate. Salat has a very broad meaning in the Quran. The narrow meaning of Salat is ritual prayer. One more time. Salat has a very broad meaning in the Quran. The narrow meaning of Salat is ritual prayer. So let's explore Salat in its broad meaning in the Quran. Hopefully then we will understand what ritual daily prayer really aims at. If we do not fully understand the essence and the spirit of Salat, we will be included in the verse that I cited earlier. Woe to those who pray but are unmindful of their prayer. In chapter 75, verses 31 and 32, the Quran gives us a clue about what Salat really is. These verses describe the judgment day for a person who rejects God. To paint this picture of a person who rejects God, the Quran uses four critical words to describe that person. Pay attention, please, to these four words. فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. For neither he confirmed the truth, the person who rejected God, for neither he confirmed the truth, صَدَّقَ, nor did he salat, but he denied the truth and turned away. Four words. The first two words, saddaqa and salla, are the opposites of the next two words, كذب و تولى. So صدق is the opposite of كذب. Truth is the opposite of falsehood. And صلى, which the word صلاة comes from, is the opposite of تولى. What does تولى mean? If we understand what تولى means, we will have a better feel for what صلى or صلات is all about. In the Arabic language, تولى means to turn your back to something, to turn away from something. In other words, to ignore, not to mind about something. In contrast, صلى means to turn to face, to embrace, to take something very seriously. So salat, interestingly enough, is a universal phenomenon. We are incorrectly taught that salat or namaz is something that faithful Muslims do. Not true. Salat is a universal phenomenon. It is not limited to humans. In fact, the Quran tells us that God also engages in salat. Chapter 33, verse 43. هو الذي يصلي عليكم. يصلي comes from the same root as salat. هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. It is God who يصلي عليكم. Most translations say God blesses you. It is God who blesses you, which I think misses the point. The verse uses the word يصلي. God turns to, God embraces those who put their faith in Him. What is the form of God's salat? The verse continues, لَيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. God leads you out of the depths of darkness into the light. So what is the function of God vis-a-vis faith or iman? God will lead a person of faith from the depths of darkness into the light. That is the part God plays in the drama of faith. The Quran also brings God's part under the umbrella of salat. To make a point that salat is a universal feature in all existence. But salat has many layers, it has many dimensions, it has many forms. Human salat is just one form, one case of salat, not all of salat. According to the Quran, the entire cosmos is in salat. All creatures, fish, frogs, turtles, birds, humans, believers, non-believers, yes, non-believers, they all have salat. Check out chapter 24, verse 41. The Quran tells us that the entire universe is in salat. Alam tara anna Allah yusabbihu lahu man fis samawati wal ard wa tayru safatin kullun qad alima salatuhu wa tasbihu wallahu alimun bima yafalun. O Prophet, do you not see that all those who are in the heavens and on earth glorify God, as do the birds with wings outstretched? each indeed knows its salat and its tasbih. God has full knowledge of what they do. It's very incredible insight in the Quran. The verse clearly attributes salat and tasbih to all creation. In fact, this is a common theme throughout the Quran. Tasbih, which is often rendered glorification in English, tasbih comes from the root sabaha, which means to swim. Remember, the Quran is telling us that the entire universe does tasbih. Tasbih comes from the root sabaha, which means to swim, to roll onwards, to perform a daily course, to float. That's what tasbih means, and that's what the entire universe and its inhabitants do. Every element in the universe, every inhabitant of this vast cosmos strives to fulfill what it was created for. It strives to fulfill its destiny. Each member of this universe, kullun qad alima salatuhu wa tasbiha, each element, each member indeed knows its salat and tasbih. In other words, all inhabitants of the universe know which direction they should turn to. Let me give you some examples of what the tasbih of the universe is all about. Every year, sea turtles come to shore to lay their eggs. When the eggs are hatched, baby turtles immediately face the ocean. They go in the direction of the ocean. How do baby turtles know where to go? Even their mothers are not around. Birds migrate thousands of miles each year. They know exactly which direction they should go. They know their qibla, their direction. All creation has a built-in compass, an inner compass. Every inhabitant of the universe knows which direction to face and live. Let me repeat one more time. This is the core meaning of Salat. Every inhabitant in the universe knows which direction it should face and live. Now, do you appreciate why you face the holy mosque in Mecca every day during your Salat? Qibla literally means direction. In Salat, you find, or at least you try to reinforce the direction you should face every moment of your life. Salat and tasbih for plants and animals are instinctive, but humans have a novelty called free will. Humans choose which direction they want to face in their daily life. Brothers and sisters, we direct our thoughts, our talents, our energy in a certain direction every day. That is our salat. Your salat is the direction towards which you spend your energies. You spend your God-given talents. the direction that your thoughts take every moment of your life. So in a nutshell, this is the essence of Salat. This is the spirit of Salat. As I mentioned before, Salat has many layers, many dimensions, and many forms. At one layer, Salat is a ritual. It is a specific religious practice with specific procedures, specific movements, and recitation. And that's what we do 5 times a day. However, ritual prayer is highly symbolic. And that's the point, that jurists miss. Ritual prayer is highly symbolic. We need to be mindful of the symbolism in daily Salat. When you go through the motions, you are really trying to create a sense of God in yourself. I know this is not what mullahs tell you in mosques. When you go through the motions in daily Salat, in daily prayer, you are really trying to create a sense of God in yourself. You want to reorient yourself towards God. You want to redirect yourself towards God, the ultimate truth behind this vast universe. But remember, this is only and only one case of Salat. We must place this specific case, the ritual daily prayer, in the broader context of Salat, which I just explained. Sadly, we often lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of the wider and broader meaning of Salat. We tend to focus on formalities. We do the procedures flawlessly, yet our Salat tends to lack the essential spirit. That's why we typically do not reap much spiritual benefit from our daily Salat. The Quran does not promote ritual prayer as an end in itself. Salat, daily ritual prayer, has instrumental value. If a person performs daily prayer, but he does not live his life facing God, his prayer is worthless. His prayer is worthless. And I'm not making it up. That's what the Quran teaches. If you do your daily prayers meticulously, flawlessly, but then you do not face God in your daily life, your daily prayer is worthless. Let me quickly share with you what the Quran describes, let's say, fake Salat versus real Salat. Fake Salat versus real Salat. Let me give you what the Quran has to say about these two types of Salat. First, the fake Salat. Chapter 107 in the Holy Quran, which appears towards the end of the Quran, is very short. It describes a person who performs ritual prayer, but rather than being applauded by God for doing the prayer, that person is actually cursed. Are you with me? Read chapter 107 in the Quran. This chapter admonishes some folks who do their daily prayers. Where do these people go wrong? Let's begin with the first verse and then work our way down to the verse that actually does the cursing. Remember, this is the case of fruitless prayer. worthless prayer. Verse 1 in chapter 107. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ O Prophet, haven't you seen the person who denies religion? Hello out there. This is the description of a person who denies Islam. What comes to your mind now? Well, I submit to you, we would immediately think of an atheist, or maybe, God forbid, even a Christian who believes in Trinity. Listen to what the Quran says about a person who denies religion. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ That person is the one who drives the orphan away. A person who is indifferent to the plight of the weak in his community, such as the orphans. When the weak extend their needy hands, he pushes them away. He ignores them. That person ignores and rejects religion. وَلَا يَهُذُّ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ And he does not urge feeding the needy. This person who rejects religion does not feed the needy himself and does not urge others to feed them either. In other words, he is stingy with his own money and encourages stinginess in others. Right? So this person is not an atheist. He is a Muslim who performs salat 5 times a day on time. And now the cursing comes in. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاءُونَ Woe to those who pray, but are unmindful of their prayer. Those who strive to be seen while praying for show, and refuse small kindness. Absolutely amazing. The Quran does not have any interest in religious formalism, the type of religion that jurists, fuqaha, promote. This short chapter curses those who pray, but they are not mindful of God. Refuse even small kindness to others. These folks reject religion while going to Hajj, while praying 5 times a day. Now let's see how the Quran describes a person who does real salat. In chapter 70, verses 22 through 34, the Quran really informs us what true salat is all about. But since we are running out of time, I urge you to read these verses on your own. But I will start 3 verses earlier. I'm going to start with verse 19 and then go to maybe verses 20, 22 or 23 and stop. Now, starting with verse 19, the Quran sets the stage for describing the attributes of those whose prayer is real, not fake. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ حَلُوًا Human being was created truly anxious. حَلُو is anxiety that is rooted in greed. You see, greed is very harmful for mental health and psychological health. Greed creates stress, exhaustion, despair, even depression. That's what the Quran is warning us against, that we human beings have a tendency for this sort of greed which leads to anxiety. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا Human being is fretful when misfortune touches him. Remember, the Quran is trying to describe a person who does real prayer. human being is fretful when misfortune touches him. Jazu means restless and impatient. When misfortune touches a man, he becomes distressed. He becomes tormented because he doesn't gracefully accept loss. But you know what? Human beings do not gracefully handle gain and prosperity either. فَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. When good fortune comes his way, he is tight-fisted. He is very reluctant to part with his money. So man, human being, tends to fret when misfortune touches him, and he is tight-fisted when good fortune comes his way. Now the Quran makes an exception. Now the Quran makes an exception and describes an exceptional group of human beings. Those who perform real prayers. إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. Those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who are constant in their prayer. Who are these exceptional people? Those who do not fret in hardship and do not lose their way in prosperity. Who are those people? Those who are constant in their prayer. It doesn't mean that they do their formal prayer all the time. Rather than 5 times a day, they do it 400 times a day. No, that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that every moment of their life, they are with God. They spend every moment of their life facing God. God for them is not an abstract idea, it's not a belief, but a present reality. God is embodied in everything they do. They live with God. I think Rumi got the true meaning of this verse right. پنج وقت آمد نماز و رهنمون عاشقان را فی صلاتن دائمون. The ritual prayer is 5 times a day, but the guide for lovers is the verse, those who are in prayer constantly. The average Muslim faces God for a few minutes 5 times a day. But a lover of God, well, she is a different breed. She lives with God. God lives in her heart and mind. God directs everything she does. Let me conclude my sermon with a beautiful poem by the Persian poet Baba Tahir. Baba Tahir envied these people, the people who are in constant prayer. خوشا آنان که الله یارشان بی به حمد و قل هو الله کارشان بی خوشا آنان که دائم در نمازند بهشت جاودان بازارشان بی. On earth, these exceptional people are in heaven. Why? Because they live with God. God is constantly present in their hearts and mind. Inshallah, I will continue my talk on Salat next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.